This podcast may contain content that is graphic and disturbing in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
It was in a schoolyard in Scotland that a story spread of a vampire preying on small boys. It lived in the local cemetery, so the school kids set off to slay the vampire. This is Apple for the Teacher, a true crime podcast. I'm your host, Anna Thomas. Today's episode is called Vampire Slayers. The school kids went to the cemetery armed with weapons. What happened? The story today takes us back 70 years to the city of Glasgow in Scotland in the 1950s. In particular, there was a part of Glasgow called the Gorbals, which was situated on the south bank of the River Clyde. When the Industrial Revolution arrived, people flocked to Glasgow for employment opportunities in the new industries which were created. Immigrants came from Ireland, Italy, Eastern and Central Europe, and particularly the Jewish, who fled persecution from Nazi Germany. They came to work on the docks, railways, and in the many factories. But this influx soon caused the city to become densely populated. To cope with the population growth, large tenement apartment blocks were built. These buildings were four stories high and were built very quickly and cheaply, with sewerage and water facilities being inadequate for the number of people housed, and sewage ran through the rat-filled streets. The poor quality buildings housed many more people than they were designed for, and they crumbled and decayed as time went on. The people lived in squalid conditions, with poverty being clearly evident. There were no gardens, lawns, or playgrounds for the children. Many photos can be found of children playing in the grimy streets. These became the children's playgrounds. However, the Gorbals had once been a prosperous area and had been home to lawyers, doctors, and wealthy merchants. But the once middle-class area turned into one of Britain's most notorious slums, with gangs and violence prevalent. It's not exactly clear on the origins of the name Gorbals, but one theory relates to a leper's house, which was established in the area. It was said that when lepers crossed the bridge in the town, they would ring handbells to warn people of their approach. These bells had the name Gory Bells, hence the name Gorbals. Today, there is a cemetery in the Gorbals called the Southern Necropolis. It was opened in 1840, and there have been some 250,000 people who have been buried there. The entrance features a massive Gothic stone gatehouse, and the cemetery covers many acres. So, back in 1954 in the Gorbals, a seven-year-old boy named Tam Smith left school in the afternoon and went to a cafe to have ice cream with some of his school friends. Here, he is describing what happened next. "We had been sitting in the station cafe next to Bridge Street after school with some of my pals. We were sitting there listening to the jukebox, and a friend of ours ran in and told us there was a vampire in the graveyard." So, filled with childhood curiosity and some fear, they headed over to the cemetery. Here is what they saw when they got there. "We ventured through the gatehouse, and there were loads of kids in there, some wandering around, some sitting on the walls. There were a lot of dogs too, and mums and dads with kids. We found a place to stand out of the way because there were so many people there. I think the whole of the Gorbals was in that graveyard. It's hard to put an estimate on the number of people." Another boy who was there was Kenny Hughes. Listen here as he describes what happened.
"I didn't know it was what they called a vampire. We were told, or we picked up in school, it was something called the man with the iron teeth. This started, and then it started describing who's this man with the iron teeth, and he apparently had big fangs, and you know, come down like a walrus or something like this, and he's kidnapped two boys, and whatever happened, and we're all trying to figure out, well, who's the two boys? So it must be somebody from another street or something. Got, and then it snowballed from there, and they said, and this guy's living up in the gravy. I'm not really scared, because you didn't know what was going to go on. I think we were more frightened by the time we got there and thought, this could be real. Especially when we saw the older ones with weapons and stuff like that. We went, what's going on here? You know, this could be serious.
Here is the translation. He said, I didn't know what was called a vampire. We were told, or we picked up in school, something called the man with the iron teeth. Apparently he had big fangs that came down like a walrus. And he's kidnapped two boys. And we were all trying to figure out, well, who were the two boys? So it must have been someone else from another street. And then it snowballed from there. And then it was this guy living up in the gravy. And the gravy was the word they used for graveyard. I wasn't really scared because you didn't know what was going to go on. I think we got more frightened when we got there. This could be real, especially when we saw the older ones with weapons. And you think, what's going on here? This could be serious. And here is another boy, Tommy Smith, and here is his recollection.
Because the older boys were up short trees and were looking. You'd be seen over there and they're looking. And I kept seeing shadows, but it was reflections. Mm-hmm. People up trees and things, and I thought, I think that's him down there. And they're all running with sticks.
So he said, the older boys were in the trees and looking, and I kept seeing shadows, but it was reflections, people in the trees. But I thought, that's him down there. And then they all started running with sticks. Doesn't this just sound like so much fun? And here is another boy, Ronnie Sanderson, who recalls how the whole story started. It all started in the playground. The word was there was a vampire and everyone was going to head out there after school. At 3 o'clock, the school emptied, and everyone made a beeline for it. We sat there for ages on the wall, waiting and waiting. I wouldn't go in because it was a bit too scary for me. I think somebody saw someone wandering about, and the cry went up, there's the vampire! And that was it. That was the word to get off that wall quick and get away from it. I just remember scampering home to my mother. What's the matter with you? I've seen a vampire! And I got a clout around the ear for my trouble. I didn't really know what a vampire was. Just behind the cemetery was an ironworks factory called the Dixon Blazers, which operated day and night, constantly releasing smoke which blanketed the town. Tam talks here about the factory. I can't remember how long we stayed, but one thing I remember clearly is that there was a furnace blast from the ironworks at Dixon Blazers. When it started to get dark, it turned the sky flaming red right across the top end of the gorbals, and when that went up, everyone jumped. They thought that was the vampire, or the so-called Iron Man of the Gorbals. At one point, someone had been burning stuff in a nearby chapel lane, and one of the stories was that the vampire had burned one of the boys there. Those were the kind of stories that were going around at the time. You would go to bed at night and wonder if these things were actually happening. So the children were armed with all sorts of weapons, sticks, shovels, hammers, axes, knives, pots and pans, and they were scampering around the graveyard ready to kill the so-called boy-eating vampire. Meanwhile, the word had reached the Glasgow police of an incident at the cemetery, and Alex Deprose was the officer who responded. But nothing could prepare him for the sight he was confronted with. He saw hundreds of children scampering around the graveyard. Their figures could be seen darting through the fog which descended on the cemetery, as well as the flames and smoke from the steelworks just nearby. He heard a child scream out, "There he is!" followed by running children. Deprose recalled here what he saw. "When I appeared, I felt like the Pied Piper of Hamelin. All shapes and sizes of children streaming around me, all talking at once and telling me of the vampire with iron teeth. This I could handle, but when grown-ups approached me and asked, earnestly, is there anything in this vampire story, it made me think. They told him they were hunting a 7-foot-tall vampire with metal fangs, which had eaten two boys and was living in the graveyard. Deprose told the children it was nonsense and to go home, but it was a difficult task as there were so many of them. Eventually, more police arrived and even the local school headmaster arrived, telling them they were all being ridiculous and to go home. But it was only when it started to rain did the children eventually leave. Once at home, they received the wrath of their parents, which also continued the next day at school. But that didn't stop them going back to the cemetery for the next two nights, although with reduced numbers each time. So, as you can imagine, rampaging kids in a cemetery made the local press, but it wasn't long before the incident was also featured in national papers. One headline read, "Amazing scene as hundreds of children rush cemetery." But as the vampire hysteria didn't ease, one newspaper published the following article, hoping to put the matter to rest. The headline said, "Vampire with iron teeth is dead." The vampire, which was supposed to be running amok in Glasgow's southern necropolis on Thursday, after devouring two little boys, started children armed with penknives, sticks, and stones on a mammoth hunt. They swarmed over the 7-foot-high wall and started searching the cemetery. The rumours swept through Glasgow with amazing speed. Police were called out. Lurid comics and a horror film were blamed with starting the scare. But last night, all was quiet at the necropolis. Youngsters who swarmed the surrounding streets guiltily laughed at the idea of a vampire. But of course, this didn't have the intended effect, and the tale of the cemetery vampire continued for years afterwards. And those boys, now elderly men, have nothing but fond memories of their vampire slaying days. Here is what Tam said. "It was atmospheric. Looking back, it was great. Back then, we had no TV. We went to picture halls and cafes for entertainment. So it was amazing to have something like this happening on your doorstep. My great-granddad stayed next to the graveyard. He looked out right onto it. The stories he would speak of were the Iron Man, but other people were talking about the man with the iron teeth, which might have been because of the ironworks behind it. I remember the headmistress of Gorbals Public School telling us all in the dining room that we were to keep away from the graveyard. But of course, boys will be boys, and we still climbed up there and looked around for this Iron Man or vampire. It was an adventure for us. For ages afterwards, people would come into school and claim that they'd seen it last night." And here is another story of how a woman with cats also became entangled in the story. Tam said, "There was an old lady who used to carry two cats in a basket. She would go to the graveyard to get peace away from the kids and let her cats have a wander. But she was in there the night we went looking for it, and people were involving the cat woman with the Iron Man. It was a shame when you think about it. She was an eccentric lady with wiry hair, but we called her Tin Lizzie. It's a shame the cat woman was ridiculed by kids, but when you're young like that, you don't think about how that might hurt someone." So essentially, the cat woman was being described as a witch, and we can see how both of the genders were being represented here with the vampire and the witch. And of course, due to Scottish folklore and myths and legends, so it's really not a surprise that the children came up with this fanciful story of a vampire with iron teeth roaming around the graveyard devouring boys. It totally makes sense. So the obvious question being asked by the adults was, what had caused this mass hysteria amongst the children? Some pointed to a story in Scottish folklore about an ugly old woman who was said to have prominent metallic teeth. She was dubbed Jenny with the Iron Teeth, and parents warned their children not to misbehave or Jenny with the Iron Teeth would come to get them. A poem was even written about Jenny, and here is a Scottish man reciting part of the poem.
"Jenny with the Iron Teeth, Alexander Anderson. What a plague is this o' mine, we steek the ye, though a hap more the heed, as cozy as can be. Sleep, and let me to my work. Are they plays to earn, Jenny with the iron teeth, come and take the bairn. Take him to your ain den, where the bogey bides. But first put both your big teeth in his wee pump sides.
Now this was hard for me to understand, being an Australian with Croatian roots, but I was able to understand some of it. So here is what it said. It said, Jenny with the iron teeth, come and take the child. Take him to your den where the boogie lives. But first put your big teeth in his wee plump sides. Now, there is more to this poem, but my lack of Scottish words means that I can't translate it. But it was interesting to know that this poem was actually taught in schools. So it's really no surprise that the children referred to this vampire as having iron teeth. So it totally makes sense. Others pointed to a passage in the Bible which may have fueled the hysteria. Here is a reading from Daniel 7:7, quote, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. So it's possible that some children read this in a Bible or even heard it in church. But there were also many who pointed to the ironworks factory as causing the hysteria, as is seen by this person. The local area at that time was dominated by Dixon Blazers, the iron foundry that would go 24/7, belching out smoke with the night sky lit up orange. There was clanking noises of metal going on, and the area was polluted and smelt pretty foul, and it was directly behind the necropolis. I think that might have as much to do with it as anything else. Kids knocking about in the graveyard at night, and all the smoke and colour going on, the noise, it was a potent mix." And Kenny himself remembers the factory. He said, "The Dixon Blazers was at the top of my street, and at night the whole street lit up. You couldn't miss the Dixon Blazers. You could see it from miles away. In 1940, they had to close it down because it was a market for the German bombers, and I think it closed for the whole of the war." And it's also a perfect name for an ironworks factory, isn't it? The Dixon Blazers, perfect name. And here was another view, quote, "Could the Gorbals vampire and earlier myths like the Iron Man and Jenny with the iron teeth have emerged from the poverty and pollution of the Gorbals? Could they have been personifications of the hazards faced by the urban industrial poor in the fog-laden, sulfur-tinted air with the billowing of smoke and clunking of iron all around? Could malnutrition and overcrowding have conjured up these strangely modern monsters in the inhabitants' minds?" So it was totally understandable that the vampire was described as having iron teeth, as iron was the lifeblood of the town. It employed so many people in various industries, but it also had a dark side. It symbolized poverty, and the steelworks polluted the area with noise, smoke, and chemicals. So perhaps to the children, iron was like a monster which morphed into a vampire. While some pointed to Scottish folklore and the ironworks factory for perpetuating the hysteria, there were others who offered an alternative explanation, that of horror comics. It was argued that the graphic images of monsters and murder in comics inflamed children's imaginations. After World War II, horror comics emerged as a distinct genre, and one particular American comic published was called The Tales of the Crypt. It soon also published its sister comics called The Haunt of Fear and The Vault of Horror. It was a year before the mass hysteria that a particular comic was published called The Vampire with the Iron Teeth, which was thought to have been the culprit that set off the cemetery rampage, However, these types of comics and others like it in the horror genre were criticized for their depictions of sex and violence by parents, clergy, and school teachers as contributing to illiteracy and juvenile delinquency. As a result, a debate took place in the House of Commons regarding horror comics, which resulted in the Act of 1955 called the Children and Young Persons Harmful Publications Act. Here is a quote from one MP who said, "Every type of depravity is created in these American comics, kicking an individual in the stomach, kicking him in the face, gouging out his eyes. That sort of thing is bound to create a fear complex in children, which, in my opinion, sends their minds galloping into all sorts of strange fields." Isn't that interesting that the comics he's referring to doing things like kicking people in the face and the stomach? It just shows you how tame comics were back in those days compared to the movies and the video games and everything that kids would be exposed to these days. A code was implemented for comics which imposed certain restrictions, such as words like terror and horror were no longer allowed to be used in comics, as were depictions of zombies, werewolves, and violence. Comics should not create sympathy for criminals or present them in a glamorous way so as to inspire others to imitate them. They should not promote distrust of the law or show a disrespect for institutions. Law enforcement should not die as a result of criminal activity. Criminals should always be punished, and good shall triumph over evil. The word crime shall never appear alone on the cover of a comic. Scenes should not show bloodshed, lust, depravity, sadism, masochism, gory or gruesome crimes. There shall be no scenes of torture, vampires and vampirism, ghouls, cannibalism, and werewolfism are prohibited. Dialogue must not use profanity, obscenity, smut, or vulgarity. There should be no use of nudity or suggestive postures. Seduction or rape is forbidden, as is sexual perversion. Females should be drawn realistically without exaggeration of physical features. The sanctity of marriage must be promoted. Due to these restrictions, the publisher of the Tales from the Crypt cancelled the comic, along with its other horror, crime, and science fiction titles. And also, this law, which was created in 1955, apparently still exists today. It was very interesting to hear from the children themselves, now grown men, regarding this theory of comics being the instigator of the hysteria. Many of them said they had never read comics or even knew what a vampire was. Living in poverty as they did, the children didn't have the luxury of having access to comics. And of course, they didn't have television either. But clearly, someone did, as the word vampire was being used. So perhaps it was an adult who had heard what the children were talking about, who then used the word vampire, and then the word took off with the kids. As one boy said, he had no idea what a vampire was, saying, "Nobody knew we needed stakes. We didn't have Christopher Lee to explain that you had to put a stake through the heart to kill him. We were just going to cut the head off. End of story. I don't know what we would have done if we'd met one." Funny, funny, funny. But the hunting of vampires wasn't the first monster hunts that Glasgow children had partaken in. In the 1800s, it had been banshees, ghosts, and maniacs. There was even a fire-breathing phantom called Spring-Heeled Jack. But there were other cases as well throughout Britain, such as the Highgate Vampire, the Manchester Mummy, and the Cardiff Giant. As we know, children are notorious for inventing vivid stories, but perhaps the children in the Gorbals were aided with the fact that the cramped conditions in the neighbourhood, with lack of space, prompted them to use the cemetery as a place to play. As one boy said, "We'd all head off up to the gravy. If you were out playing, you went up there. We used to sit up there and tell ghost stories, scary stories." So the cemetery became a place to escape from the dark, bustling slum, a place that offered some greenery that was totally lacking in the tenements. So the vampire hunt of 1954 is well established in Glasgow history, so much so that only 5 years ago, a stage play was created called The Gorbals Vampire. The playwright who wrote the play said, "There is something just fascinating about the idea of primary school kids going to take on a vampire. I love that in The Gorbals, the reaction to that was, 'Let's get the bastard tonight.'" And I also love this next part. When the play was running, they also ran a competition for local school children to create a horror comic and also to design a mural of the monster. And this very mural can still be found in the Gorbals today. And you can easily find the mural by just searching Gorbals Vampire on the internet. So what a great story, right? I just loved researching this story. It was just nice to have a change from crime, sadness, and tragedy. For me, this story just represents the joys of childhood. The children had very little, but what they did have was imaginative play, which many would argue is lacking in kids today due to TV, the internet, movies, video games, etc. They were free to entertain themselves in their neighborhood, and I'm sure the words "I'm bored" were never part of their vocabulary. And while they clearly lived in poverty, I wonder if the children themselves saw it this way, or did they just not know any other way to live? They had no one to compare themselves to, as there was no TV. This story just brought back my own childhood. What kid didn't love vampires and Count Dracula? And it also reminded me of my carefree childhood. We just roamed around the neighborhood. Our parents didn't even know where we were most of the time. We made our own fun. Yes, they were the good old days. Now, you may or may not know that I have covered other stories about mass hysteria associated with schools. In episode 97, What's Your Poison? School children came down with a mysterious illness thought to have been caused by a deliberate poisoning. So was it poisoning or mass hysteria? Then in episode 98, Satanic Panic, children at a preschool tell stories of satanic rituals and sexual abuse taking place. And when you look for photos of this particular story, you see so many black and white photos of those times in the 1950s. But I came across one particular photo, which was just so gorgeous. It was a photo of some of the men who were actually part of the vampire hunt, and they recreated a photo of themselves now as old men, pretending that they were boys again. They were holding sticks as if they were ready to slay the vampire. It was just such a cute photo. And I also find that it's really fitting that the name of that town was the Gorbals. It just really does sound like a place where you would find blood-sucking vampires, doesn't it? So I hope this story put a smile on your face, as I certainly loved putting this one together. And at the end of the episode, you will hear a song which was written about the Gorbals vampire. And now let's preview the next episode. It's called Trainwreck. The school bus drove over a railway crossing. What happened? And now to end this episode, I will leave you with this quote about vampires. "The moon is my sun, the night is my day, blood is my life, and you are my prey." Bye for now, and remember to be a good apple or a good vampire.
There's a vampire way I'll tea, eating children in the Gorbals. A 7 foot tall, dreadful beast, living somewhere in this graveyard. Red light and smoke, panic on the streets. See the steelworks flames and the gravestones leap. There's a vampire way I'll tea, children in the Gorbals. A 7 foot tall, dreadful beast, living somewhere in this graveyard. We're armed with stakes, we've got knives, and we'll be here with dogs if it takes all night. There's a vampire way I'll tea, eating children in the gods. A 7 foot tall, dreadful beast, living somewhere in this graveyard.